Troll Scroll.
I used to be an adventurer like you, and I took an arrow in the knee.
Aloha, everybody. Welcome to episode 10 of Troll Scroll, an Elder Scrolls Online podcast. My name is Tom Powers, and as usual, we have a huge show ahead of us. Let's see, we got new Q&A from the ZeniMax Online team regarding the Aldmeri Dominion. Finally, we're finished with the Evanhart Pact. You can get some sort of insight, lore-wise, and perhaps game-wise, on what the Aldmeri Dominion can bring to the Elder Scrolls Online. Along with that, we have a new video question of the week, and much, much more. Before we dive in, I want to know how that guy up in Michigan, my fellow American, that French guy, Tim LaPerriere, how's it going?
Howdy. I'm doing great. Howdy. Actually, probably it's more southern Howdy. Than northern, isn't it?
Definitely.
What do people say in the north?
Yo, what up?
No. Yeah, that's Detroit.
So yo, what Detroit, up? So. Yo, what up?
Wow. That's how I do it in math.
How's it hanging?
Okay. Well, all is hanging well. Hanging.
I'm glad to hear
correctly.
That. Yeah, good.
Oh. And my fellow Floridian, Dan the Man.
What's going on, Tom?
What's going on, dude? How are you doing?
What up?
Nothing
That's
much.
How I say it, from Mass. Yo, what up?
From Mass? You go to church or something?
No, that's actually
good. Catholic or something?
No.
Okay, alrighty. Well, boys, here we are, episode 10. 10 episodes in to this epic game that we're also looking forward to, and this is our 10th episode, and obviously you guys can see that it is in video format. This is something new that we're trying, so please bear with us if there's any technical issues that ensue, but episode 10, here we go. All right, guys, new video question of the week. Let's check it out.
Hello, my name is Brian Troggett, and I'm a level designer at ZeniMax Online Studios. Elder Scrolls Online features many diverse regions of Tamriel. What's your favorite region of Tamriel, and why?
Okay, so that's our developer question of the week from Brian Troggett, a level designer on the ESO team. He wanted to know what your favorite sort of zone or territory is in Tamriel, and why. Tim, let's start with you, buddy.
Well, considering I've only played two of the games, Oblivion and Skyrim, I've only really got two to choose from, either Cyrodiil or Skyrim, and I guess since Skyrim is the most fresh in my mind, and since it was the most... I don't know. Skyrim, I guess I'm going to have to just go with Skyrim. Because Skyrim, to me, I kind of like the whole Nord feel. I really did enjoy kind of like that snowy atmosphere and that kind of northern... It must be a northern thing, I guess, because I'm from the north. But not that that really means anything. But the point is, I think Skyrim's probably my favorite. I enjoyed all the mountainous terrain and the wide open fields. And I enjoyed the creatures there and all the monsters and the dungeons and so on and so forth. So I would definitely have to go with Skyrim. But in the Elder Scrolls Online, Cyrodiil would take over because that's where the RVR's at, and that's where all the action takes place. And that's what I'm most looking forward to is, in fact, playing RVR. So kind of split right now.
Well, yeah, and looking at the pictures of the Imperial City that we've seen, well, we haven't seen what the Imperial City looks like in the Elder Scrolls Online, but we've seen what it looks like in Oblivion. Mm-hmm. And that city looks... the scale of that city looks incredible. I hope they match that scale with the Elder Scrolls Online. It probably will be a little smaller, though, right? Because it's taken
right.
place.
Well, it depends. I mean,
in the past.
I don't know, actually, to be honest with you, because since it's an MMO, you think they might want to largen the size of the city itself, just because it's a mega server, right? And then again, you know, it's in Cyrodiil, so it's got to deal with RVR. So you're only going to be having people with your campaign inside of it. So you're probably not really going to be doing too much. You might not be buying anything from, say, the auction house or getting your class trainers or whatever, because it's going to be, from what they, I believe they said, it's going to be like an instance thing when they do launch the Imperial City. So, you know, it's probably not going to be too much bigger. But I would assume that, you know, since they're going to have multiple players, probably hundreds of players running through this thing, unless, of course, they shard it like they did in Warhammer, unless they shard it, you know, we're going to be having hundreds of people running through this city trying to do this PvE experience, taking out Moloch Baal and his forces of undead. So they would have to kind of up the scale, in my opinion, you know, make the streets a little bit bigger, maybe add a few more houses and so on and so forth. So, you know, you got to take into account all the players, all the NPCs, all that kind of stuff. So we could actually see a bigger Imperial City than what we're used to from, say, Oblivion.
Well, and it's interesting what you said about the sharding, and I don't mean to get off topic, Dan. I'm going to ask you in a second. But the whole, do you think the Imperial City is going to be connected to the campaign? Or do you think it's just going to be something on the Mega Server? I would assume it would be connected to the campaign, right? Because you gain access to the Imperial City as you win in RVR.
Right, right. And obviously different campaigns are going to do different things, you know, because you had it in Warhammer Online, you had, when you took one of the cities, you know, one city shard could actually take over the city, and another city shard could get their butts kicked by the defenders, and you wouldn't take over the city. So I would assume that it's based off of, yeah, campaign, whichever campaign you're in and what you guys do. So one campaign might take the Imperial City, another campaign might not take the Imperial City, which leads to the question, are there going to be quote-unquote multiple emperors? Because since there's going to be multiple campaigns going on, you know, are you going to have people that are also multiple emperors, quote-unquote? I mean, we can speculate on this all day. I mean, are you going to have your emperor powers outside of Cyrodiil? Or are they only going to take place within Cyrodiil? Because if you have them outside and you've got a couple people from your faction that, you know, are in different campaigns and then they both became emperor, or say five of them became emperor, you know, you've got five emperors now running around in PvE zones. Are they going to have benefits that they could bring back to their faction in the PvE sections? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I would assume that it's campaign based. Short, yeah, I would assume. So.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
Dan the Man, what's your favorite territory / zone from Tamriel?
I'm going to have to go with Skyrim on this one, but to be a little bit more specific, I'm going to go with the College of Winterhold, because when I was playing Skyrim, that is basically the area that I played in the most. It seems like every time I was there, because I was a magician in that Skyrim. So
say a wizard.
Say a wizard. Sounds more... See, when I think of magician, I think of rabbits and hats.
Show me a magic trick, Dan.
Show me.
When I'm a magician, I think of Yu-Gi-Oh, personally. But
so
anyways,
then why did you say magician?
Sorry, but anyways.
Wizard.
I was a wizard in Skyrim, and when I think of Winterhold, I, like, always encountered a dragon there, and it was just so awesome, because I'd be on a quest, and then I'd come back, and I'd be fighting a dragon. It was just so awesome.
You know what, maybe you shouldn't even say wizard. That makes me think of Harry Potter. Say mage.
A mage. I was a mage. There you go. I was a great mage.
You were an awesome mage.
Absolutely.
Slaying dragons. Hopefully you'll be able to do that in the Elder Scrolls Online, too.
I will destroy dragons when they come out.
Dan just consumes anything. Anything that comes his way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, ruthless. Yeah. He's ruthless. Moving right along, let's talk about this week's Ask Us Anything. Except now it's on the Old Mary Dominion. The past couple weeks have been... revolving around the Ebonheart Pact faction. Now this is our first Q&A regarding the Old Mary Dominion. We have a couple questions here. I thought this was an interesting one. How did the Old Mary come to be formed in the first place? This was asked by a gentleman by the name of Luke Hayes. They responded, it was really the brainchild of Queen Arryn. After assuming the throne of Elenor, having traveled Tamriel extensively before returning to Somerset, she was aware of the dire threats menacing the world, and saw it as the proper duty of the elves to put things right. At the same time, The Wood Elves and the Khajiit were facing troubles of their own and in need of allies, so they came together to form the Dominion.
Oh.
This Queen Ariane, she sort of seems like a protagonist, right? It doesn't seem like she's power hungry. It's like it seems like she feels that if you have the responsibility to make things better, or if you have the ability to make things better, if you have the power to make things better, then you have the responsibility to make things better. I don't know. Okay. She seems really cool.
I think she's a leader, and when you are being a leader, your role is to help other people. It's like servant leadership, and what she's trying to do is help everyone else come together and be a huge community and just own other communities, basically.
Yeah, and this is sort of something that, I don't know, this makes me even more appeal to that faction when I played The Elder Scrolls Online. And something else that I sort of didn't know. Before I thought the Aldmeri Dominion were coming together because they were just friends and blah blah blah. And yeah, they are friends, I think. I feel like they are legitimate allies. But it does sort of sound like they came together because of necessity. At least, maybe not the High Elves joining with the Bosmer, Wood Elves, and the Khajiit. But it sounds like the Khajiit and the Wood Elves were like, yeah, we should probably join the Aldmeri Dominion. We need them. Where I thought before that it wasn't based out of necessity why they came together. I thought they just came together because, you know, kumbaya, let's all be friends. But the Khajiit, I know they were sort of suffering from a disease, which the High Elves sort of made them, it helped cure them and stuff like that, which was huge. And the Wood Elves were under attack. But I don't know. You guys think that's cool? Do you guys think that's sort of original? It sounds sort of similar to the Evenheart Pact. Does that sort of bother you guys?
No, I mean, you're going to have, you know, dominant factions. And by factions, I mean like individual races within each faction that are sort of the figureheads of those factions. And it kind of makes sense from a story standpoint that, you know, you would have a race that sort of leads the other two races. And, you know, looking at the lore, the High Elves definitely seem like they're the superior race. I mean, you could just gather that. Their intellect and them inventing, like, the language and everything like that, you know, they would seem to be the superpower within that race, or that faction, I should say. And, you know, the other two races are in trouble. Who do you look to? Superpower. You know, give us some help. Give us some of your, you know, resources or your abilities or whatever you have. You know, we need some assistance here. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense with me. I'm cool with it.
How do you guys think it's going to work with, it sounds like there's a leader for almost every race. Mm-hmm. Like, the leader for the Wood Elves is a gentleman. He's King Aridin. That's his name. He's the one that turned to Queen Erin to join the Dominion. Do you think that when we get into the game, you know, I guess, how should I say this? Do you think Queen Arryn is going to be, like, the de facto true leader of the entire Aldmeri Dominion? Or do you think it's going to legitimately be, like, a council of three leaders, since there's three different races? You know what I'm saying?
It might be more so along the lines of, like, you're going to have your one leader, and then you're going to have two sort of advisors or so from the other two races, because, you know, there's different, you know, like you're saying, the Wood Elves and all that, they have different sort of figureheads for their own races. So I think you're going to have sort of the superpower leader, who, I mean, since it's, you know, she's the one that is saving the Wood Elves and the Khajiit, so they're coming to her looking for help, so she's going to kind of have the power over them to an extent, and then she's going to have, you know, the other two guys as sort of advisors, you know, that help her make decisions. I mean, I don't think she's going to be making decisions on her own. I don't think it's going to be like, okay, we're treating you guys sort of like slaves or whatever. So I think they're going to be kind of working together, but she's probably going to have, quote-unquote, the final say, if you will, when it comes to important decisions.
Yeah, I actually agree with Tim, what he has to say. I think everyone will come together and be like a council. When there's a decision, they talk about it, and then at the end of the day, the queen's going to make the decision, but she's going to take in the other two opinions of the other leaders, the king and whoever the Khajiit's leader is, I'm not sure.
Interesting. I'm sort of wondering why when they have the race pages, or not the race pages, the faction pages on the ElderScrollsOnline.com, I'm wondering why they sort of focus it then so much on that one individual. You know what I'm saying?
Well, because she's probably the figurehead, which is, you know, that's what leads me to believe that it's going to be sort of a one, not one-man show, but, I mean, there's going to be one person making all the large decisions. But she's sort of the figurehead, so, I mean, you don't really recognize the advisors, right? When you think of, you know, the different Jarls in Skyrim, when playing Skyrim, you don't think of their advisors. You know, you think of the Jarls. So, you know, I guess, you know, it's sort of the same concept in this case.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Touché. Jacob Wild, or Willed, pardon me, said, will Elsweyr, I have no idea how to pronounce that. We're going to call it Elsweyr.
No. Elsweyr, the continent?
Will Elsweyr be in Teso?
That is Elsweyr. That's
is that what it's called?
Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Elsweyr.
Wow, that's pretty
I always thought it was a play on words when I was playing Oblivion. This is off topic. When I was playing Oblivion, I always thought that, like, they couldn't come up with the names that were, like, on the outside, and I read Elsweyr, and I'm like, haha, that's funny, because it's like Elsweyr, you know. Turns out it's actually a real place in the lore, so I guess I was sort of wrong in that one. But continue, sorry.
No worries. ZeniMax Online says, yes, at launch you will be able to explore the two corners of Elsweyr, an island off the south coast, and the far northwest corner of Anaguina, around the city of Dune and Fort Sphinxmoth. Most of Elsweyr is still in the grip of the Kanaten flu and isn't a place you really want to go until the epidemic has run its course. So my question is, with this epidemic going around, do you think this epidemic, there's going to be some type of, I don't know, do you think there will be quests revolving around the epidemic? Curing it, perhaps?
Sure. I shouldn't say maybe world quest, but I mean, an epidemic with a disease sort of reminds me of the Rakuul outbreak that Star Wars: The Republic had, and that was sort of a cool thing. So I mean, you know, I hope that they have, if not a quest line in it, but like a world event, perhaps that, I guess, kind of brings your entire faction together. I mean, I guess world events is sort of a different topic, but. Yeah, I could see a quest line or something along those lines. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be sweet. That would be awesome. I wonder. I guess my question is let's say that this is us. Do you think that this would be a starting zone for the Khajiit? Possibly.
Probably. Maybe. I believe there are the Khajiit based out of Elsweyr.
I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming that because a lot of them were victims of the epidemic.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they are. I mean, somebody's going to correct us here, but saying that they are, you know, yeah, I could see them being, you know, I think, obviously, all the different races are going to have their own starting zone, right? The Nords are going to start in Skyrim, obviously, and the Wood Elves are going to start in a different place other than, say, Somerset Isle, or, you know, where the High Elves will probably start. So, yeah, I could see the Khajiit being put in Elsweyr.
Actually, I think they said you aren't going to start off on Somerset.
That's well, you're not afterwards. Not, yeah, Somerset itself isn't going to be there, but the Isles of Somerset, like the smaller ones, it's kind of like Hawaii, how Hawaii's broken up.
Yeah, they said there's like a little island that you can go on right in between Somerset and the other Valenwood or whatever.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I really don't know for sure if the Khajiit start in that zone or not, so folks don't take it that way, but that would be an interesting sort of world arc almost, or story arc, for new players who are playing as Khajiit. I don't know, do you think I'm assuming they'll have races start in different locations, not everyone together.
Right.
But that would be pretty cool. The next question is, this is a long one, by Brandy Dills, will the Khajiit players in the Elder Scrolls Online also get a choice in subspecies? Or will the default still be Suthra Rat? I know that they are the most common breed, but is there any more backstory as to why every Khajiit you meet in Varvinfell, Cyrodiil, and Skyrim are Sutra Rot. Do the others never leave elsewhere? And that was asked by Brandy Dill. So maybe he said, do the others leave elsewhere? Never leave elsewhere, pardon me. So I'm assuming that's possibly their home. I don't know for sure, though. ZeniMax Online responds, among the Khajiit, the race of feline humanoids who originate from elsewhere, the Sutra-Rot, are indeed the most common breed, and at launch, all player character and non-player character Khajiit and Issyl will be Sutra-Rot. Now, will you glimpse more Khajiit subspecies in Issyl in the future? Only time will tell! Exclamation point. What do you guys think? Do you guys think they sort of dodged that question?
When I read these questions, I was thinking to myself, what is this? Like, they didn't answer all the questions to my satisfactory, and I was kind of upset with the answers that they gave for the questions.
Dan's disapproval.
Dan's mad.
ZeniMax has failed, Dan.
A couple of times now. It's not just once.
It's a couple of times.
Whoa. Bro.
Yeah. ZeniMax has been slipping for quite a while now, haven't they?
Yeah, for me they have.
For you? Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that they kind of dodged the question, but I think, I think it was sort of straightforward there. You know, you're not going to have different breeds of Khajiit in the game when the game launches, but there's a possibility that in the future they might implement new types of breeds. Though if they do that, they're going to have to not necessarily make them similar. I mean, I'm assuming a Khajiit is going to be a Khajiit. I mean, it probably looks different as opposed to. I don't know, because I don't know what any of the other breeds look like. So if it's, like, super radically different, you don't want to make something that's super radically different to where it's like, okay, are you playing a completely new race? You don't want to confuse other players, necessarily. Or, on top of that, I mean, if the Khajiit get two types of races, quote-unquote, they get their race and then they get different sub-races, so to speak, and that's kind of another... it's sort of another story because now the Khajiit kind of have quote unquote more customization over the other races. So I could see where people from a different faction would kind of frown upon that, if you will, just because they don't have as many options available to them. So they'd have to be careful with that. And if they do it, kind of maybe give the different races different customizations. Not necessarily different breeds, but something else to kind of counteract the Khajiit getting something like that.
What I sort of don't understand is why didn't they just go down the route like, okay, there's Khajiit, but instead of having, an entirely different race / subspecies, it's not really a different race. They're still Khajiit.
Right.
Why didn't you just have customization options that fit sort of the characteristics of the subspecies rather than, for example, this special breed called the Sutra Rot? Like, well, why didn't you just have more customization options to sort of fill that damper?
It's kind of like monkeys, man. There's not just one type of monkey. There's gorillas, chimpanzees, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, bro.
It's like that. You just don't have one type of Khajiit. It's like a cat,
I see what you did there. Cats and monkeys and... It's clever, Dan.
Like, yeah, there's a cat and a monkey, but there's different types.
Right, that's what I'm saying. There's different types. I see what you did.
Yeah, but do you guys think that would have been a legitimate solution?
It depends, though. Like I said, I don't know how different they are. I mean, if it's just, like, fur color, okay. Then yeah, it's a simple add different fur colors so that you can say I'm quote unquote this subspecies. But if it's like seriously like significantly different to where yeah it's still classified a Khajiit, but it's not actually a Khajiit. Like you got like whales for example. I mean you say whale you think of 15 different types of whales, and they look significantly different than a different type of whale. Each whale looks different in its own. Uniqueness or whatever, but Khajiit, on the other hand, I don't know. I've never seen. I don't know if anybody. I'm sure there's some sketch out there, sketch artist or whatever that's released some kind of fan art or concept art or somebody from Bethesda said something or shown something about it. But I mean, do we really know what difference between these different races are, or subspecies. Do they look significantly different or not? Because if they do, you can't just kind of add like a... I don't think a customization would really work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. You know, who knows? You know, some Khajiits may run on four, you know, all four.
Right. Someone might have two heads. That's a joke. That's
what?
A joke.
Okay.
Do you guys think that Thundercats are a subspecies of the Khajiit?
Yes.
So do I.
Good.
Maybe Lion-O is the king of the Khajiit.
That would be hilarious.
Probably. That would be terrifying.
That would be awesome. I think I've watched Thundercats twice.
I've never seen Thundercats.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Star Wars either. Or Lord of the Rings.
Huh. Sorry.
Well, Dan, why are you...
I know
even,
it breaks your heart.
Why are you even doing with your life?
Just being a superstar.
Okay, enough of that. Moving on.
Yeah, moving right along. Chris McNamara, he asked, there hasn't been a ton of content in Valenwood in the past. How exciting is it for the people working on places in Tamriel that have not been prominently featured in past games? ZeniMax Online, they said, what could be better, basically? They have a ton of, artists working on how the game design and art in this zone looks. And they can't sort of wait to make it even more of a living and breathing place. I guess my point is, for this question, do you think that, how guided do you think ZeniMax Online has to be, since they sort of have a free card to create the lore within this zone, since it hasn't been featured that much in the past with predecessing Elder Scrolls games? Do you think that they were sort of on the phone a lot with Bethesda, trying to get this sort of locked down lore-wise on what they can do here? Do you think there were limitations, or do you think they were pretty much... they had a clean slate and they could do whatever they wanted with it on developing the zone and what the sort of conflict within the zone is, the setting, background, etc.?
You know, I'm kind of hoping that they had sort of their own free reign on it, since it's, I guess you could say it's never really been done before. Obviously, Bethesda's going to have certain requirements that they're going to have to meet. You know, you can't go off and do something completely radical that doesn't fit the overall, you know, history and lore and setting of Tamriel. But I kind of hope they do what LucasArts did with BioWare. They kind of said, okay, here's what you can do, here's a rough draft, so to speak, like an empty shell. This is kind of an idea of what we want you to do with it. But go ahead and kind of add your own twist, add things, you know, that make it, I guess, unique to you, you know, so that you kind of have more free reign, so that you're not restricted to doing this. You can do with it with what you want, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of hope ZeniMax had a free reign over it. That'd be legit.
Dan, what's your take? Do you think that they might have been limited by Bethesda on what they could or could not do story-wise or setting-wise?
I hope it's loose. I hope that they were just able to create their own process of whatever they wanted for the lore. Because when you have free reign of anything that you want to do, you're more creative. Things come out of the box. When you're given a rough draft of something that they kind of want, you know, you don't really think. It's not, creative juices aren't flowing in your brain. So I hope that they just kind of let them do what they wanted to do, and then after they're done, show it to Bethesda and be like, this is what we have, what do you think, what should we change, what do you like, and then kind of just like throw in the good points and then move on from there and do it a few times.
Yeah, and it's sort of interesting because I felt like when we were following Star Wars The Old Republic, that was something that was sort of known quite well, that BioWare was constantly consulting with the LucasArts team on what was appropriate story-wise, setting-wise, on all these new planets and stuff like that. They were being guided. They were almost holding hands with LucasArts, which wasn't a bad thing.
Right.
They were just trying to keep the integrity of the story, sound with the rest of Star Wars lore and such like that. But we don't really know how much ZeniMax Online Studios communicates with Bethesda. So that's sort of my question. Do you guys think they work together quite often, or
I believe they said that they have a meeting every Friday that they kind of go over everything. I know for a fact that they...
Is that enough, though? Just to have, like, a conference call?
Well, I mean, it's not... I guarantee you that it's not just one conference call. I believe that what they this is vague. Okay, not vague, but this is sort of not 100% sure on this. But I believe that they had something that they said in the beginning of the week they kind of talked to Bethesda and kind of get an idea of what they want to do for the week, and then at the end of the week they kind of show them what they've done. Okay, and I guarantee you that they're not Bethesda's all right, on Monday morning they're like, all right, here's what we want you guys to do this week. See you on Friday. And then, if ZeniMax has a question and they call up, Bethesda's like, nope, can't talk to you until Friday. I mean, I guarantee you that they're open for communication there. I mean, it's Bethesda's game as well. I mean, they're producing it. It's their world. It's their creation. Of course they're going to be talking to ZeniMax about what's appropriate and what's inappropriate for the game. So, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I know that there's communication between the two companies, which is great, but I just want to know how much, because with Star Wars The Old Republic, BioWare actually had LucasArts employees always at their studios. They were at the studios down in Austin, Texas, working conjointly with the developers and the writers. And that's sort of more drastic of a measure than what we know of. I believe it was in the PC Gaming article, Game Informer article, pardon me, that this was brought up question-wise. And they said that they talk once a week, every Friday, something like that, and they communicate with the other teams. I just want to know, that sort of sounds like they have more freedom than what BioWare did. So, yeah,
and I mean, it's interesting. And BioWare is, too, I mean, not to get too off topic here, but BioWare also focused on, I mean, the Star Wars The Old Republic's main selling point was the story. Okay, and if that's your main selling point, you have to have a very, because they were expecting, Star Wars junkies to come play this game. And to kind of get that fan base, you have to make it feel a lot like Star Wars, and you have to make it, very, very Star Wars, to the T. Okay? And I'm not saying that The Elder Scrolls Online isn't going to be like that, but their main selling point isn't necessarily the story of The Elder Scrolls Online. Yeah, it plays a huge role, okay? One of their main selling points, I would say, would be RPR, okay? The whole Citadel battle, the Siege Warfare. That's kind of their main selling point. I mean, Tor really only had story going for it. As sad as that is, they really seriously only had story going for it. So I think BioWare focused a lot more on story, and I think LucasArts focused on that more than, say, necessarily Bethesda and ZeniMax are. It's still a huge part of the ZeniMax development cycle and whatnot for Elder Scrolls Online. So don't take it like I'm saying that they don't care about story or it's not going to be accurate. It will be accurate, and it will be the Elder Scrolls when you play it. You'll feel like you're in Tamriel. But I don't think it's going to, I think they're going to be more open to freedom. Just because, I mean, we haven't been to these other places, You play games like for Star Wars. See, this thing with Star Wars is there's so many more games prior to the Old Republic that players had been to, Tatooine. They'd been to all these different planets in other games. So, they needed that Lucas guidance to kind of make it feel like, okay, this is what the story is all about, because this is what players are expecting. Nobody's been to Elsewhere. Nobody's been to Somerset. I mean, there's so many places that we haven't been to in the Elder Scrolls universe that it wouldn't be a bad idea if ZeniMax had freedom, because you can't really screw up something that nobody's ever seen. People are going into it with an open mind already. They're not going into it thinking, okay, it has to be just like this, and if there's a tree out of place, ZeniMax screwed up and I'm not playing the game. You know what I'm saying? So I'm still pulling for them having free reign.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. It's interesting. We'll have to see how it goes and how. Because I just have the feeling that Elder Scrolls has some hardcore fans, just like Star Wars does, just like Warhammer does, etc. And it's going to be interesting to see how they react to all the new content that anyone hasn't experienced before in these new zones, like you just mentioned. It's going to be interesting to see how they react on the forums and such to that.
Sure.
Moving right along, James Craven asked the following question. How do you intend to portray the cannibalism of the Bosmer, a.k.a. Wood Elves, From what do you draw inspiration for the jungles of Valenwood and the culture of the Bosmer, and any Aeod enclaves thrown across deep in the jungles? Zenimax says, for the Wood Elves, cannibalism is a matter of ritual significance, and typically quite private within a family or tight-knit group. There's actually a lot of background on Valenwood and the Bosmer and the Elder Scrolls lore, though you may have to dig a little to find it. After Empress Alessia's slave army drove the Aelides from Cyrodiil, many of them took refuge in Valenwood, so Aelid runes are actually rather common in the southern jungles. This cannibalism. Do you think... They said, you know, James asked, how do you intend to portray cannibalism of the Wood Elves in Teso? And they said, cannibalism is a matter of ritual significance and typically quite private within a family or tight-knit group. So does that mean there's going to be no cannibalism in Teso? This is sort of one of those dodge questions.
What I'm talking about. They just dodged almost, I feel like, every single question. The last question was, like, about a crystal tower, and they're just like, nope. They used materials that they had. Okay, yep, what the heck is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, we'll get to the we'll get to that in a sec. We'll get to that question in a sec. But I don't know. Tim, what were you going to say?
Just, no, I have no idea. I think that having cannibalism, like open cannibalism, like if you're just doing a quest and you see some other wood elf just feasting on the corpse of another, I think that would like raise the rating of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like it's gonna go from like say teen to like mature if you just see this like wood elf just like carving out flesh. I think they're probably gonna avoid something like that. And by them saying that it's sort of a private matter, they can implement it into the story, okay, because the word cannibalism isn't like, you know, okay, gonna raise the rating of the game necessarily, but like, you know, the actual physical seeing it actually happen, that's something I'm sure they're probably gonna try to avoid. So yeah, cannibalism might be a part of the story, and you might be doing a quest and something mentioning cannibalism might come up. You know what I'm saying? But I don't really think we're gonna be. I don't think it's gonna be like Fallout where you can kill a wood elf and then just like, if you're a wood elf, you get like this racial ability that allows you to kill other wood elves and like feast on their corpse, and you get like a perk bonus or something like that. You can do that in Fallout, I think, like Fallout 3. It's like a perk you get for like eating other. Yeah, it was kind of gross. I never got that. It's actually frowned upon too. People would run in terror.
I hope it would be frowned upon.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of gross, I guess. Yeah, cannibalism's gross. Yeah, cannibalism, that's a little rough. Anyways, the point is, I don't think we're going to see it actually happen in the actual world.
Interesting. I thought the second part of the question was answered well. They talked about how these Aelid runes are going to be common, or were common in the southern jungles of Valenwood, so I'm assuming, you know, that supposedly we're going to be seeing a ton of dragon temples in Skyrim in the Elder Scrolls Online. Do you think you could say the same about these Aelid runes? We'll see a ton of those in the southern jungles of Valenwood as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, good deal. Moving right along, the buildings of Elenor are said to look like they are made from glass or insect wings. That's grody. If the Somerset Isles are traversable at release, will we see a design resemblance of this? And will we see the Crystal Tower, for that matter? This was asked by Callum Parker. ZeniMax Online says the following. When the Elder Scroll Online launches, the playable part of the Somerset Isles will be Aridan, the big island between Somerset and the continent that includes the cities of Firsthold and Skywatch. The architecture of the High Elves is fanciful, certainly, but it's also practical. Constructed of real-world materials. Architects can't make buildings out of poetry. Dan, what's your take on this question? What's your impression?
My take is they're elves. They can use magic. Magic can be used to do almost anything. So if there was talk about a crystal tower, they should put in a crystal tower.
That's great logic, Dan.
Hey, I mean, it's
great logic.
It works. It works. That's what I'm saying. You know, they can spawn out a guy or take over someone's mind to come and fight for you. I'm pretty sure you could be able to poof some crystal out of your hand if you can control people's minds or, you know, poof out Frost or your water staff. You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't come out of thin air. It's magic.
Well, you had to find the water staff, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I
once you get it, though, you can poof out water or fire, whatever
poof
it
out?
Is.
You were a great mage.
You can put out water
you?
With water. That's,
you know, I hope,
that's great.
Wow. I hope your mage didn't get that high in the ranking system in that mage tower.
50, baby. I was at 50 destruction spells.
Oh, you were 50? So you did learn.
Oh, no. Wait, what was the highest? It was 100, right?
No, I'm not talking about level. I'm talking about, like, rank. Like, I hope you weren't, like, you know. So, like.
Oh, my total rank?
Yeah. No, never mind.
I'm confused.
You're missing. I'm not talking about the level. I'm talking about, like, Archmage. I hope you weren't the Archmage of that college.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't remember. That was back in the day.
Right, that was back in the day.
Yeah.
So, I guess, and this is why it's so frustrating, because I'm such a noob with lore. I'm such a noob with lore of the Elder Scrolls. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know this, now you know.
I'm a bigger noob, though. Like, I'm a bigger noob at lore than you are, so.
So, the buildings of Alenor.
Great.
Is Alenor even on this island that they're talking about with these other two cities called Firsthold and Skywatch? I don't think, I'm assuming that Alenor isn't on that same island. So I'm assuming that, no, we aren't going to see the Crystal Tower, because the Crystal Tower is in Alenor, and it sounds like insect wings and glass were not part of the design document when the High Elves were making the buildings and such. At least that's what the ZeniMax Online team said. With the other two cities and such like that. How should we take this?
It's fanciful.
It's fanciful. It's pretty.
They said.
Yeah.
Is that how we should take it? Just,
sure.
I don't know. It's
just
a little vague.
Fanciful. Looks. Whatever you, just sit back, close your eyes, and just, when you say fanciful, just imagine something, and then that's what should come.
No, I'm not going to do that.
You didn't get anything? I did. I saw this nice, you know, architecture.
Architecture of what?
A building.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
Oh my god.
Describe the building.
Yeah. Yeah. What's this building?
Well.
Let's dive into the mind of Dan.
You know what? Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. The building's probably shaped like a water staff or something. Or a fountain.
Actually, it wasn't, but that would be really cool.
All right. Moving right along. That was the part one of the Aldmeri Dominion Ask Us Anything segment that ZeniMax Online has been doing on and off every other week. Moving right along, last week we said that we were going to talk about the Scald King. We got sort of this lore piece. I guess, how should I describe this? It was sort of like a written account. It was called, how do you say the name, Tim? Hurun?
Jorun Scald King, I believe, something
Jorun
like that.
Jorun the Scald King. And it was written by Helgrer Lutevoice, the Bard of Windhelm. He sort of had this deposition on the past of this individual. What did you guys take from this? Anything? Did this have any impact on you or Tiso?
Personally, not for me, because I'm not going to be playing Ebon Heartpack, so I didn't really care. I did read it, though, and it's kind of cool how he becomes king, but didn't really care at all.
What did you get from it? It's sort of, I glanced over it a little bit, and it sounded like the Scald King was pretty much a badass. Like,
I would hope so.
He was just a big conqueror, almost.
Right. Sure, you're gonna rule a nation like that, I would hope you're kind of awesome, right? Nobody wants a loser as a king.
I mean, sure. Yeah, that's...
I mean, I'm just saying, I mean... Nobody wants a moron that just sits there and, I don't know what to do. I don't know, I looked over it too. Like, I read it, obviously, and I thought, I guess along the same lines as Dan, it wasn't really... I guess I didn't really... I wasn't super interested into it in it because I'm not playing Everhard Pack. Obviously, I'm playing Altmeri Dominion, so it kind of was like, eh, whatever. But at the same time, I mean, it was a great read. I enjoyed it, you know, and I find it, first of all, what I liked about it was set up like a book, okay? Much like how it is in, like, Skyrim and Oblivion, how you find those random books or whatever, and you can read them. It was set up like that, which was kind of neat. And on top of that, I mean, I like reading the books that have to deal with, like, warfare within Skyrim. Like, there's a bunch of books in Skyrim that have to deal with, like, war and stuff like that. And I always find those interesting. And this was sort of similar to that, so I guess I did find it interesting to an extent. But, I mean, as for what I got out of it, yeah, other than just, you know, Yorun being a total awesome boss that got help from the Greybeard to summon, you know, this spirit to help him drive back the Akamari, I believe it was. That's, you know, it was pretty cool. So.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that they'll have this sort of bit of lore on every de facto leader of the faction, because isn't he the de facto leader of the Ebonheart Pact? So they'll probably have one for Queen Arryn, or whatever her name is, too.
I hope so. I'll be all over it. I'll read that up and be like, oh yeah, baby.
Yeah, that's sort of cool. I'm glad that they're giving us this, like, sense of identity with not only, you know, our faction, but also the leaders of our faction. This is going back to what they stated before, is they want people to be really patriotic towards the faction they're a part of and affiliated with. That's great. I think that's awesome. Alright, we are moving along to our mail time questions, and we're almost at an end. here we go. We got a tweet from Colton Melman, at CMelly34 on Twitter. He said, at Real Troll Scroll, big question. Do you think an action MMO will hold up in the long term? And how will it be for casters? Will left clicking get old? Tim, what do you think, bro?
You know, I think it'll add something new to the whole MMO genre. You know, because we're so used to button mashing, and I was actually talking about this with one of our newest guild members today. You know, it's great that the Elder Scrolls Online is going to be playing a lot like Elder Scrolls, because, I mean, you really weren't ever, I don't know, were you guys bored when you guys played the combat in the Elder Scrolls universe? I mean, did you guys ever find yourself kind of wishing that there was more to it?
No, I was content.
Right. I mean, I was content, too. It actually felt like there was some sort of skill-based. You know, you actually had to block. You actually had to move your sword and your shield to block arrows that were coming in. You had to, you know, actually swing your sword in the right direction.
Well, and I think that's the key word that you just said. It's skill-based. It's not just, you know, target and, you know what I'm saying?
Right, and I think people are going to kind of enjoy that a lot more than, say, button mashing. Yeah, it's going to be repetitive because you're only clicking a couple buttons. Plus, I mean, we have, you know, our abilities, and then we have sort of our ultimate ability. We only have, like, 5 or 6 abilities, though. But it's still something. You know, you can still mix it up a little bit. You know, you can do a couple swings here and there, and then maybe cast a spell if you want or whatever. That's cool. You know, and I think, you know, with the Elder Scrolls universe, the way that the class system works in the Elder Scrolls is you can seriously make whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? You can make a guy who has a shield but casts spells, or a guy who has a sword and, you know, shoots fire from his one hand, or, you know, carries a water staff in one hand and a freaking, you know, wand in the other hand. I don't know. I mean, you can make all this kind of, you know, you can make all these different, I guess, classes. It's all customized. So I think people are going to come up with some pretty creative class combinations, so to speak. And I think it just opens up a lot of doors for a lot of possibilities and a lot of opportunities for unique fun and something that we haven't seen in a previous MMO before. So, I don't think people are getting bored.
I totally agree. The fact that everything is so customizable means that you can be constantly experimenting with something new. So it's always going to feel fresh and new. I agree. Our next question is from at Mootrap. He says, at Real Troll Scroll, what MMO are you all playing until The Elder Scrolls Online drops? Get this question a lot. But Tim, you wanna go ahead and take this?
Legion has been actively searching for a game to play. We were originally going to be playing Darkfall on Holy Wars, except for the fact that game got delayed indefinitely.
God, what a bad company.
Three hours before it was actually supposed to launch, which was sort of...
It's like the time it got delayed, too, by the way.
Right. So, I mean, that game looked pretty sweet, right? That game looked pretty sweet. But apparently we're going to have to be waiting a little bit longer for that game. So kind of right now, I mean, we're bouncing around through several games. Right now, a lot of our guys are playing PlanetSide 2. We got people playing War Z. We got people playing Age of Empires. And we got people playing Minecraft. Okay, I mean, some of those games are old. You know, Minecraft, Age of Empires, I mean, those games are old. Minecraft's really not that old. But regardless, I mean, you know, there's games out there. We're still looking. We don't really have an MMO, other than, I guess, PlanetSide 2 that we're really playing. So a true MMO, like WoW or Star Wars or Star Wars The Republic or Warhammer or something, we don't really have one right now. So,
Mootrap asks another question. Have any of you played TESOL yet? No. I haven't.
Neither have I.
I don't think no one has except the people that went to the press event. Those were the only people. And the developers. That was it.
So. Soon, hopefully. Yeah, maybe. Beta. Soon, huh? Perhaps. Yeah, next year.
If I played, I'd throw a party. I'd be like, yep, I played TESOL. Yep, I'm going to throw a party.
You're going to throw a party because you played TESOL.
You're going to throw a party.
I'd be like one of the first ones to play. If I was like one of the first ones to play, I should have said.
Okay.
Yeah. But you would throw a party?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We get another question from at CMLE34, at RealTroscro, when's the next show? This is a great question. So we have the holidays coming up, right?
Yeah.
We are not going to be doing another Trollscro episode probably until mid-January. I know, that sounds terrible. It sounds brutal. I know. The reason is because we're all going to be spread out. I'm going to be out of the country, and I'm not going to have legitimate internet access. I'm going to have very limited internet access. So I would say our next show will probably be 3 to 4 weeks from now. But, we still have our fantastic writers, Cy Craddy and Ryan Barth, that are going to be whipping up content and editorial articles that you guys can read for your viewing pleasure.
Right.
Tim, Dan, do you guys have anything you want to add to this?
Just that we switched to Podomatic, right?
Oh, yeah. Thanks,
well,
Dan.
I mean, that's not really on topic.
I didn't know if they listened, they had to switch from Podbean to Podomatic or whatever.
Oh, no, that's a good point. That's a good point.
That's a good point. Back to our original question, though. I myself, too, might actually do a couple articles or something else. I don't know. I doubt I'll do any videos. I don't know. Unless there's a video that comes out, ZeniMax is like, hey, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. Here's a video. You know, I might do a dissection or something like that on the video. But I'm going to try. I think I still have two more RVR articles to write for my RVR series that I started like 2 months ago that I never finished, so I apologize for anybody that was actually reading those. I might try to finish those. So. But we'll see. There's definitely going to be still content coming out of the Trollscro website, so don't fret. You know, don't be like, oh, great. No, I won't check them out for a month. We're still going to be having stuff come out. So.
Yeah.
Keep your eye on Trollscro.
Yeah, we're still here. We're still active. We're just going inactive for a few weeks.
The podcast.
Yeah, podcast only.
The podcast is going inactive.
Yes.
But not the actual website.
We'll be back, though. We'll be back.
Right.
Like, we get our final mailtime question from at Mootrap. So is that real Trollscro? If you want to have the best in-slot gear, do you have to play PvE or PvP?
Pretty sure it's both, right?
That's what I heard. And I don't know if I think that was originally the idea, the plan, and then I think they said that they might switch that or something like that, but I still think, as it stands right now, to get like a full set of gear, and don't quote me on this, but I remember reading this somewhere, they want to kind of encourage you to play both PvP and PvE. So, you know, you got to do RVR and PvE raids or whatever to kind of get, like, the full boss status set. So, kind of have to experience the entire game, which I think is
really I think that's a great idea. I'm so glad that they're doing that. That it's not, you know, it's not two sets anymore. It's not, got to grind for this PvE set. Oh, great, now I got to grind, you know, War Zones or Battlegrounds or something to get my accommodation, supply my PvP gear set. This is so much more fluid.
Right.
So, yeah, I hope that answers your question, Moontrap. Right now, it's they're aiming at both, but we don't know for sure if that's what they're going to have once the game launches. Okay, guys and gals, episode 10 of your Troll Scroll podcast is finished. It's under the rug. Keep in mind, this is just a reminder, our old iTunes feed is inactive. I believe they already removed it off of iTunes. But we do have a new one with all of our episodes updated on there. So search on iTunes, Troll Scroll, and you should be able to subscribe to that one. And if you haven't made that transition already, we're on Zune Marketplace as well. Search Troll Scroll on Zune, and you can find our podcast on there. We're on Podomatic. And I just want to verbally say, and I'm sure I speak for Dan and Tim too, thank you so much for listening and making the transition over. We were all very nervous that when we were going to go to Podomatic, we were going to lose a lot of listeners who weren't going to like come over to and leave the Podbean old iTunes feed and come to the new one. And we're shocked. We're just absolutely shocked. Like almost, I'm pretty sure almost everyone has. And the conclusion to all of this is, Tim, what are we ranked right now on Podomatic?
Third in the gaming category.
Third in the gaming category, and there's over...
And, what? Yeah, third in the gaming category and fourth in the overall game and hobbies category. So...
Thank you, guys.
That's because of the fans. We do it for our fans.
Quite a few. And by quite a few, I mean a couple thousand podcasts, so... It's sort of, you know, it's not like it's out of five podcasts. It's sort of a big deal for, you know, you guys, because it's you guys that are that have done this for us. You know, that's, I mean, like Dan was saying, you know, we do the podcast and all this stuff for you guys. So thank you very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Freaking awesome.
Much freaking appreciated.
Awesome. Very much.
Yeah.
Very much.
I love them. I love them.
Me too.
So other than that, Tim. You know, what's this news about Legion? What's going on? What's a Legion?
Legion's a guild. Legion is a high-elf-only guild that is obviously playing in the Altmeri Dominion faction. You can find us at legionhq.engine.com. E-J-E-N... Well, I spell this wrong every single time. LegionHQ, okay, dot E-N-J-I-N dot com. LegionHQ.engine.com. You can check us out there. We have, you know, a strict ranking system and everything like that. Take both casual and hardcore gamers, and we are, in fact, focused around RVR. That's not to say that we don't do PvE. We're going to be doing plenty of PvE, but RVR PvP is sort of our, you know, bread and butter, so that's kind of what we're going to be. You know, if we, you know, 5 out of the 7 days of the week, or 4 out of the 7 days of the week, we'll be doing PvP. You know, PvP. So, that's Legion. It's awesome. You guys should check it out. If you have any questions, let us know. We'd be more than happy to answer for you.
Most definitely. Follow at Real Troll Scroll on Twitter for real-time updates related to the Elder Scrolls Online and any updates if we post a new podcast, article, video, etc. on trollscroll.com. You'll be the first to know if you follow us on Twitter. Search the keyword Troll Scroll. We would love it if you would like our Facebook page. Easy to find. Check that out. And if you subscribe on iTunes, that would be much appreciated. Leave a 5-star review, and we'll bring up that 5-star review and give you a shout-out on our next episode. So, guys and gals, thank you for tuning in to episode 10. Thank you for bearing with us. This is our first video try. Obviously, we're going to take feedback in on how this went and how everything looks. I hope we... have a decent setup, but we will definitely probably be switching things around in the future and keep sort of progressing and trying to perfect this whole setup we have going on. So thank you for tuning in. Have a fantastic, fantastic holiday season. Be safe, be good, and I will talk to you in 3 to 4 weeks.
See you guys next month.
See you, Troll Scroll.